Entrepreneurship is meant to open the doors to more revenue and freedom. But how does that actually happen? Well, on the Big Deal Energy podcast, me, your host and business mentor, Laura Khalil, I'm going to be pulling back the curtain to show you how to build a B2B business you love with amazing clients and bigger contracts. Through guest interviews, bite-sized strategies, and powerful prompts, you too can harness that big deal energy. Follow me at I Am Brave by Design on Instagram, and remember to subscribe to the Big Deal Energy podcast wherever you listen to shows. Hey everyone, it's your homegirl, Laura Khalil, your business bestie, and on this episode of Big Deal Energy, we're going to be talking all about how to respond to objections because they're so freaking terrifying. You know, like if you've ever been on a sales call and you think it's going really well, but then the prospect comes in with all these objections. The price is too high. I don't have time. Maybe I could do it later. I need to think about it. I need to talk to my spouse. That doesn't really happen in the corporate stuff, but, if you have whatever the objections may be, where you need to talk to other vendors, whatever they may be, if you are like, I don't know how to respond to these things without sounding pushy, this episode is for you because I'm going to tell you exactly how we can deal with objections and deal with them in ways that actually feel really good and also feel like we are not being spammy, pushy salespeople. By the way, that stuff is repelling. Pushing on people repels. Like we all know or remember or have heard of like in dating, like the stage five clinger. Okay. It's like the person who's like hanging on your every word. The person who's like, you know, like single white femaling the audience. Like they're always there. They always want to see you. They always want to hang out with you. It's repelling. Okay. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to be the stage five clinger salesperson, all right? You want to be the empowered salesperson. You want to be the empowered business owner, the empowered consultant and agency owner. That's what we're really about. So, in order to explain how to handle objections in your business, I want to like get in our time machine and I want to go back to the golden era of 1997. I want you to imagine we are walking in to a Blockbuster. We have been enjoying our amazing VHSs that we watched over the weekend, and we are returning them. Now, if you remember what it was like, and if you don't remember, I'm about to tell you, inside of every single box, there was a note that said, "Be kind, rewind." So before you brought back your VHSs, you had to rewind them or you were fined. Okay. And why? Because it just like made it easier for them to give it to the next patron. No, this is not an episode about Blockbuster Video. So why the hell am I talking about it? This is why I'm talking about it. Because in business, if we are getting on sales calls and we are encountering a gazillion objections by the time that person is on the sales call, I want you to stop, drop, and back that bitch up because you got to be kind and rewind yourself. And what I mean by that is you need to be responding to objections, not at the end, but at the beginning. Okay? We need to start, we need to rewind the tape here. And from the first time somebody comes into the door to work with you, we need to be passively addressing and responding to the objections they may face so that by the time they get to the last step of the sales process, which is a sales call, they're not throwing up a gazillion objections like somebody who is completely unqualified to speak with us. Okay. So the way that we can respond to objections earlier in the sales process is to first understand what are the common objections you face? Like what are the top objections people have? Is it price? Is it time? Is it, I don't know. You tell me, what are those objections? And then how can we begin to address them sooner through our one-to-one and one-to-many communication? So within my mastermind, one of the key things we talk about are one-to-one communications and one-to-many communications and the strategies for those. And one-to-many communications is I'm one person talking to many people. That can be on social media. That can be in a newsletter. I'm a big fan of the newsletter, y'all. Love a newsletter, especially a good one. So how do we respond to those objections passively? I'll tell you in my business, you know, what we do within the Elevate Mastermind is help business owners reach clients, bigger clients, who are willing and eager to sign contracts between $50,000 and $250,000, okay? So what happens to the agency owner or consultant when they hear that type of brand promise from me? Well, they're probably thinking to themselves, I don't think she's talking to me. I wonder if I'm capable of that. Like, maybe I'm just a freelancer. Maybe I've actually never gotten my own contract because I've been subcontracting. Am I capable of getting that type of gig? So for certain clients, one of the objections I have to overcome is the limiting beliefs around doing that kind of work. And so the way that I will address people's limiting beliefs is I'll share stories from clients who are just like them, stories from clients who have gone, for example, from subcontracting to $14,000 a month contracts, or from clients who started off as a freelancer, as a freelance writer, who are now earning consistent 25K months in their business working with larger clients. Okay, so I'll share lots of social proof, and I'll also say, but these people are just like you, and I'm just like you. If you've heard my story, you know that I started off in the startup world. I never worked with larger companies before, and I got my foot in the door, and my business just sort of took off, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can do this. This is amazing. And so that's what I love to help other businesses do. But sometimes if we have self limiting beliefs, I have to address those, right? I have to address those long before the person ever gets on the call with me. Otherwise, you know, I spend the call being like a hype woman when you need to hype yourself up. And I'm here to hype you up too. So that's what I mean, is responding to the objections before we ever get on the sales call. Now, does that mean you're going to get on a sales call and never hear an objection? No. You will still get on sales calls and hear objections, but you're probably going to hear fewer objections, and you may hear what I would call better objections, more resourceful objections. So here's what I mean. There's three reasons that people buy. You are the right person that they want to invest in right now. They're like interested in you right now. You have the right solution to their problem, because people only buy solutions to problems. And the third one is really critical. It's the right time. So often when we're dealing with corporate contracts, you could be the right person. You could have the right solution. And the third issue here with corporate and government is timing. Do we have it built into the budget for this year to spend this type of money? Do we have to wait until the next fiscal year? Is there some other thing within the business that's taking precedent right now, so we need to put this on the shelf for a period of time? Those are real things that happen within companies. And so if you hear objections around that, like it's not the right time, or we need to wait until such and such a time, what we want to be doing is instead of being like, oh, no, but I need to work with you now. And like, oh my gosh, like we need to do this right now. Is we just take a step back. We remember to not be a stage five clinger. This is a not single white female. And we are going to say, no problem. No problem at all. I will be in touch. Let's touch base when at the start of the year, start of your next fiscal quarter, whatever that may be. That's how we deal with it. And what do we do in the meantime? We pop them right back into our keep in touch strategy. Okay. So that we are never being thirsty for clients, and we're always, our name is always appearing in front of them if we're keeping in touch consistently. The solutions we provide, they're always remembering. And so that third key of when it's the right time, we're the first person that comes to mind. Now, if you don't have a keep in touch strategy, you absolutely need one. That's really, really critical to this whole thing. Because if you do meet with corporate clients or larger clients and it's not the right time, but you're not keeping in touch, I guarantee you, if there's somebody else in front of them, when it is the right time, they'll hire that person instead, right? So why do we want all your hard work to go to waste? When people have objections around pricing, and like, let's say you do get on a sales call and they're like, I just can't afford it. Again, we ain't single white femaling this shit. We are not stage five clinging. We are not stage five clinging onto them. No problem. You don't need to respond to these things. They're just not the right people for you right now. I had a client, actually in Elevate, who I spoke with her a year ago. And she was a wonderful consultant. She was getting ramped up. She had been doing some subcontracting work, and that's kind of where she was. And she wasn't ready. She said, I can't afford it, and it's not the right time. And I said, girlfriend, that's A-okay. No problem. And so what did I do in the meantime? Because she came back a year later, and she reached out to me, and she said, Laura, now I'm ready. And her thing was she wanted to stop subcontracting, stop devaluing her rates, and start finding her own contracts. And so she signed up. Now, that wouldn't have happened if she hadn't heard from me in the last year, if she hadn't seen me in my newsletter, if she hadn't ever seen me post ever on social media, if she'd kind of forgotten about me, she wouldn't have reached out. So I had to consistently keep in touch. And so when she was ready and the time was right, she came through. Now, that's not going to happen 100% of the time. But it definitely does happen, and it can happen for you too. So I want you to keep this in mind. If somebody objects, don't take it personally. Don't get crazy. Don't get your panties in a bunch. There is something that's stopping them, and we do not need to go on a big psychoanalysis dive of what's going on with people. We just need to learn to be kind, rewind, and start responding to objections through all of our communications channels long before they ever get on a sales call, so that they feel more confident by the time they do arrive on that call. We will likely encounter fewer objections, and what's most importantly, you'll close more of those deals and get more of that big deal energy, which is what I want for you. So if you are curious right now, you're listening to this and you're thinking, Laura, how do I find more high-paying clients? Because that is the number one question I get. Here's what I have. I want you to go to bigdealenergy.net. You can watch my on-demand masterclass that teaches you exactly how to find higher paying clients. It's 90 minutes long. You will leave that masterclass with a list of prospects to reach out to. So if that sounds good, it's over at bigdealenergy.net. And until we talk next time, giddy up.